Welcome to We School's distance learning program on marketing management. We are now going to discuss chapter 2 on marketing planning and what it is all about. Let us look at the learning objectives of this chapter to understand briefly what we are going to achieve as learning outcomes. We are going to understand what is the marketing management process. We are going to know how marketing planning is done, what are the different elements of a marketing plan, what is target marketing, what are the four P's of marketing related to that target market. We will also understand the differences between a marketing strategy, a marketing plan, and a marketing program. So, having said this, let us understand what is the marketing management process. The marketing management process refers to the planning, implementation, and control of all the marketing activities and the entire marketing strategy. These activities are continuous, and decisions made in the past in one area can have implications in all other areas. It's a continuous process of implementing an entire marketing strategy. Related to the marketing management process is the strategic planning process. The strategic planning process precedes the marketing planning process and is nothing but the managerial process of creating, maintaining a fit between the organization's objectives and resources and what is the evolving market opportunities. Typically, strategic planning requires long-term resource commitments as contrasted with tactical decisions which require short-term resources. The logic and objective of strategic planning is to address two key questions. What is the organization's main activity and core competence? And how will it achieve its long-term objectives and goals? If we understand these, we are in a position to take the organization to a high-performing curve. Having said this, let's understand the term strategy. It's the most misused word in business. Ask 10 people, you'll get 10 different definitions of the word strategy. Many people confuse strategy with business planning. And for many people, the perspective on strategy, it is designed to be complex and lengthy. Let's actually see what strategy is not. Strategy is not sales, it is not marketing, it is not operations. These are all components or a tactics of a strategy. And what is a strategy? It is a way to pursue a vision by leveraging the tools and tactics that will give the desired outcome to an organization. A valid strategic plan is one that contains the basic elements of motion, a destination as to where the organization wants to go, a roadmap, how does it intend to get there, and the means of getting there in terms of what are the resources required to achieve the roadmap. So any strategic plan which defines the where, how, and what the organization wants to do creates an overall plan. Marketing planning or a marketing plan is the process of anticipating the future events and needs of the customer and determining strategies to achieve organizational goals. Marketing planning involves designing activities relating to the marketing objectives of the organization and the changing marketing environment. We will study marketing environment in detail in the next chapter. This chapter, however, we will focus on only the planning part. What does a typical marketing plan contain? A typical marketing plan contains the business mission statement, the marketing objectives, the situation analysis, the strength, weakness, opportunity, threat analysis in terms of this, what is typically called the SWOT. A marketing strategy which clearly outlines and defines the target markets. Related to the target market, what is the positioning, the product, the price, the place, and the promotion, and the implementation, evaluation, and control of this entire marketing plan. So a typical marketing plan must address and contain all these elements for it to be holistic and complete. A little bit of understanding on what is the business mission. The mission statement of an organization is nothing but a long-term vision based on very careful analysis of the benefits which are sought or which are required by both the current and potential set of customers in terms of the anticipated market environment. Defining the business in terms of goods and services rather than in terms of benefits the customers seek is sometimes called marketing myopia. So when you look at a product-driven approach to a mission statement, it creates a myopic vision of the organization. So McDonald's business mission is serving a very limited menu of what is called hot, tasty food quickly in clean, friendly restaurant for good value to a broad base of fast food customers worldwide. So this is the business mission of McDonald's. What is a strategic business unit or an SBU? An SBU or a strategic business unit is nothing but a subgroup of a single business or a collection or related businesses within the larger organization. Typically, many organizations will break themselves up into strategic business units. SBUs will have their own distinct mission and will have their own specific target audiences. They will have a set of resources which they control and manage in achieving the goals and objectives of the SBU. They have their own set of customers, they have their own set of competitors, and they have plans which are independent of what the other businesses in the organization may have. So typically that's how an SBU is defined. Many organizations, or in fact most organizations, work as a collection of SBUs. And an SBU is nothing but a mini organization within the overall organization structure, having some common resources. Now, how do you conduct a situation analysis, or what we call a SWOT analysis? Typically, you evaluate factors that are internal to the company. Strengths is something that the company does very well. Weakness is things that the company does not do very well. Then you have things that are external to the organization in terms of opportunities, conditions in the external environment that typically favor the organization in some way, and threats or conditions in the environment that do not favor the current weaknesses. If you look at the overall process, a company has a mission, or an SBU has a business mission. Within the business mission, you do an external environment analysis. The external environment analysis is typically called the political environment, the analysis of the political environment, the economic environment, the socio-cultural environment, the technological environment, and the legal environment. The analysis of the complete analysis of the external environment throws up the opportunities and threats that the organization is currently facing. An assessment of the internal environment in terms of human resources, in terms of finance, in terms of production, in terms of R&D, in terms of the skill sets and the core competencies that the organization has, throws up the strengths and weaknesses of the organization. Based on a clear understanding of strengths, weaknesses, opportunities, and threats, and mapping strength to an opportunity, strength to a threat, a weakness to an opportunity, and weakness to a threat, results in the formation of realistic goals that the organization can have for the near future and the long-term future. If you look at the overall strategic formulation process, this is how it works. When we try to study the external environment, we try to understand the competitor, we try to understand the customer, the supplier, the regulatory environment, which is typically the government regulatory framework, the social environment and the political environment. This throws up opportunities and threats. From the opportunities and threats, we identify an opportunity that is most suitable to the company. An internal analysis of the organization, on the other hand, gives, or what you cover in the internal analysis is the technology, manufacturing, marketing, and the distribution strengths of the company, logistics of the company, which throws up strengths and weaknesses, from which we identify the core competencies. When we fit the opportunity to the core competency, we create the future strategy of the firm. So this is how an entire strategy formulation session or a strategy formulation process within the organization works. Now, apart from the overall strategic planning process, what we are concerned with in marketing is the marketing process. So from the business mission statement flow the objectives, from the objectives flow the situation or the SWOT analysis, from the SWOT analysis comes the marketing objectives. From the marketing objectives, we define the target market strategy. Then we go on to define the marketing mix in terms of the product, price, place and promotion. And once we are able to clearly identify the implementation, evaluation and control methodologies, we have completed the entire marketing process for the organization. So as we saw on the previous slide, the firm identifies what are its core competencies, or also what is called a competitive advantage. What is competitive advantage? It is nothing but a set of unique features of a company and its products that are perceived by the target market as significant and different and superior to the competition. A very good example of a competitive advantage is what iPod created for Apple. The features of the iPod and what benefits the iPod could offer to its customers was considered extremely superior by the market, and hence the market went ahead and rewarded Apple with a price premium that nobody has been able to beat as yet in the market. Competitive advantage also creates factors and reasons as to why a customer will patronize a product, a company and its products, and not the competition and the competition's products. There are three types of competitive advantage that an organization can have. You can have what is called a cost as a competitive advantage. You can have a product or a service differentiation as a factor of competitive advantage, and you can create niche products for competitive advantage. Let us look at each of these competitive advantages in a little more detail. Cost as a matter or as a factor of competitive advantage is created when the company follows a low cost producer strategy in an industry while maintaining what we call satisfactory profits. A very good example of cost advantage comes from Reliance Communications. When Reliance launched its mobile services, they were the cheapest in the country. The 40 paise per minute charge came from Reliance as a first time, and because of this cost advantage that they offered to the customer, a lot of customers started using Reliance mobile services. Now, typically, cost-oriented competitive advantage is created from the following factors. It can be created from the experience curve, which means you have been in the business for a long enough time to understand how the various cost elements work, and you're able to use that understanding to optimize the cost structure of your products. The second way in which cost advantage is incurred is due to labor cost. Now, labor cost advantage is a typical strategy that is used by the IT BPO industry in India. They use the low cost wages in India as a method of competitive advantage to get customers in US and Europe for software development projects in India. The third way in which cost advantage is created is by having a no-frills product. The best example of that is the Nano, the lowest or the most cost-effective car in the world. The Tatas have designed the Nano for at a price point of about $2,500, and it's a no-frills, no-add-ons product. It's a basic car which can take you from point A to point B in reasonable comfort. The fourth method of getting cost as a competitive advantage is by subsidies. This is a typical approach which China has used to create superior cost advantages across the manufacturing sector. The next parameter which gives you cost advantage is a very cost-effective design. So you design the product in such a way that it results in a very low cost for you. A typical example of this is the PCs and the way they are manufactured and the way they are designed to create cost advantages. So they use the plug and play systems and components which are manufactured at very high capacity to reduce cost. And finally, cost advantages can occur from re-engineering the product. You may have designed a product in the past with certain benefits, certain features. By re-engineering the product, by using substitute materials, by using alternative technologies, you may derive cost advantages. So these are the methods by which cost advantages can be created as a method of competitive advantage. Now let us understand differentiation as a method of competitive advantage. A differential competitive advantage exists when a firm produces or designs a product that has unique features or something which the customers find very, very valuable. A typical differentiation advantage can happen from brand name. It can happen from value impressions, or it can be from augmented products. The Apple iPod and the Apple iPad are typical examples of a differential advantage created by a product with superior features and benefits. The Mercedes-Benz car is another example of a differential advantage created by a superior brand name or a brand value. And offering high-level IT services is a very good example of an augmented product offered by companies like TCS and Infosys from an Indian perspective, and that is what has contributed to their success in the international market. Let us look at a niche. A niche creates a competitive advantage by finding a sub-segment within an overall segment and tries to effectively cater to that segment by offering products which fit exactly to the needs of that segment. Small companies having limited resources use this strategy for creating niche. A very good example of a niche strategy is Dilip Chhabria Cars, DC Design Cars. It's a niche which caters to a market which want personalized and customized cars. Another niche is, in the Indian context, the market for sugar-free confectioneries and mithai. India is a country with the highest population of diabetics in the world, and creating confectioneries and sweets with sugar-free products is another example of a niche product and a niche strategy. Let us now look at growth strategies and how you design growth strategies. To assess growth strategies, you need to understand what is the existing business. Can I grow it? If I cannot grow my existing business, can I plan a new business? Are there existing businesses within my current portfolio which are pulling down my growth and preventing me from growing as fast as I intend to grow? The difference between the expected revenue and sales from existing business and the desired sales and revenue that the organization wants to achieve in future is called the strategic planning gap. It will be clear from the diagram that you will see on the next page what is the strategic planning gap. The strategic planning gap was first discovered by a gentleman called Igor Ansoff. If you look at the diagram, you have on the y-axis the sales or the revenue of the company, and on the x-axis the time in number of years. The current portfolio, the line which is the lowest, if the company continues to only sell the current set of products it has in its portfolio, you get the lowest line of growth of the lowest sales line over a 5-year period. The company then identifies areas of what are called intensive growth, areas of integrative growth, and areas of diversification growth to add incremental revenues over a 5-year horizon or a 10-year horizon. And the gap between what the current portfolio can achieve and what the intensive, integrative, and the diversification growth can achieve is defined as the strategic planning gap. Let us understand what is intensive, integrative, and diversification growth. Intensive growth is nothing but growth or development possibilities from existing business or segments or the market. The product market expansion grid, which Igor Ansoff first formulated, is a very, very useful tool to understand intensive growth. Let us look at this in the next slide and come back to this slide again. If you look at the Igor Ansoff product market expansion grid, you will find on the x-axis current products and new products, and on the y-axis current markets and new markets. When you have a current product which is going into a current market, you get into what is called market penetration strategy. The objective of the market penetration strategy is to get as high a sales volume and as high a market share as possible. When you have saturated the current market, you can use the same current products for going into new markets. When you are going to sell the same set of products that you currently have into new markets, you get into a market development strategy. So, for example, if you are currently selling in India and now you want to go and sell into Pakistan, Bangladesh, Sri Lanka, Nepal, that will become a market development strategy for your same existing products. When you look at new products coming into current markets, you create a product development strategy. A very simple example of a new product coming into a current market: if you are, for example, an automotive manufacturer and you are manufacturing, say, LCVs, you design a 3-wheeler for the same current market, and that's a new product development for the same automotive market in India. Finally, when you design completely new products and you get into completely new markets, you have a diversification strategy. Now, looking at this Ansoff product market expansion grid, let us go back to intensive growth and see how it impacts or how the strategy is evolved. Now, the product market expansion grid of Igor Ansoff gives a hierarchy to the growth plan. The organization will first look at how they can get a higher market share from the current product portfolio, which we define as a market penetration strategy in terms of what market share and what higher revenue you can get. The next thing that the organization does is to find new markets for the same existing products, which creates a market development strategy. The third thing the organization does is to develop new products that can be offered to existing markets or segments or customers, which are related to the company's mission and vision statement and have synergies with either the company's current products or with the current customers, which is typically defined as the product development strategy. So this is what we call intensive growth. So coming to the next part of the growth strategy, which is called integrative growth, growth that can be achieved from backward, forward, and horizontal growth within the industry is called integrative growth. Now, you have backward integration when the company starts to produce one or more of the raw material or components that are required to make their current products. Either they will set up their own unit or acquire suppliers. So, very simple example of backward integration is Reliance Industries. Reliance Industries was into synthetic fibers, and from synthetic fibers, they decided to get into manufacture of the raw materials that are used for synthetic fiber, which is monoethylene glycol and purified terephthalic acid, PTA and MEG as it is called. Forward integration, when the company moves up the value chain to make a finished product where a current product is an input or a raw material, they either set up their own unit or acquire a customer's unit or a brand to manufacture that product. A very good example of that is Toshiba. Toshiba manufactures LCD screens for laptops. Over a period of time, Toshiba realized that laptops have a higher profit margin than the LCD screens they sell to the laptop manufacturers, and therefore Toshiba went into forward integration and started manufacturing laptops. It is important to note that Toshiba is not a typical IT company which manufactures servers, desktops, laptops, and other computing devices. It is a company into digital products, and it manufactures only laptops and does not have the other IT products in its portfolio. A typical example of forward integration. Horizontal integration happens when a company acquires a competitor. A good example of that is Hewlett-Packard acquiring Compaq as a manufacturer of computers. Coming to diversification growth, organizations which diversify or get into opportunities which are outside their current markets and current products. When an organization identifies a good opportunity, which means they identify an industry which has high growth potential, and the organization has the right strength of mix or the right mix of strengths to be successful in that market, they diversify into a new area. Now, typical examples could be looking at new products that either relate to current customers but are unrelated to current product lines, like could be horizontal diversification, or a company may look into areas that may have technological or marketing synergy with existing product lines but could be targeted at new markets or segments, which is called concentric diversification. So, for example, Mahindra & Mahindra, which makes multi-utility vehicles and light commercial vehicles, diversifies into three-wheelers. That's an example of concentric diversification. And when the company diversifies or gets into an opportunity that is neither related to its current portfolio nor related to its current market, it's completely new and out of the blue or out of the box, it's called conglomerate diversification. A very good example of that is Reliance Industries diversifying into Reliance Communications, or creating a communications company which was completely unrelated to its current portfolio of products, technologies, customers, and skill sets. This is diversification growth. As a part of the growth strategy, organizations may also downsize or divest from certain products and categories. Now, typically, any business of the organization that is not growing as fast as the organization wants to grow, or has a cost structure which the organization cannot reduce to match market expectations and requirements, or something in which a stronger competitor has entered the market and made this a weak business, may be reason enough for the company to divest or go away from a current business. So, downsizing and divestment is also a part of the market planning growth strategy approach. Let us now look at product portfolio analysis. There are two frameworks that have been identified for product portfolio analysis. One is called the BCG matrix, or the Boston Consulting Group matrix. The second is a matrix which has been done by GE and McKinsey together. So, the BCG matrix is what you can see on the slide right now. On the x-axis, you typically measure what is called the relative market share, and on the y-axis, you measure the growth rate of the market. You identify four quadrants based on low relative market share and high relative market share, and low growth and high growth of the business, and you get four quadrants. If you look at the right hand cornermost topmost quadrant, where you see palm top, that is showing a question mark. That quadrant is a question mark, or what is called the problem child. Typically, a product when it is newly launched in the market is in that area of the quadrant. A new product is typically launched in a market which has high business growth. And when you launch a new product, your relative market share compared to competition is low. You typically enter a new market as a problem child or as a question mark. Why you have a question mark? You don't know whether you're going to be successful in the market or you're going to be unsuccessful in the market. As the business grows and as that product moves up and your market share increases, you move from the problem child or question mark to a star. A star is a product which is the future cash cow of the organization. It may currently be incurring losses, but it is growing very well in a high growth market. Over a period of time, the growth of that market slows down, but your growth in terms of market share remains high, your relative market share remains high. The product moves into what is called a cash cow. Cash cows are the current products in the organization's portfolio which generate maximum revenue and maximum profit for the company. And once the product starts declining, it moves into the last quadrant, the lowermost on the right hand side, which is called the dogs. Here, these are products that you have to divest or get away or get out of your product portfolio. So a typical BCG matrix is used for analyzing your complete portfolio. We've taken an example of an IT company having notebooks, PCs, mainframes and palm tops. Now if you see, palm tops is a new product entering a high growth market. Notebooks has already achieved a high market share in a high growth market. PCs are the cash cows and mainframes are the dogs from which the company needs to get out of. What is the implication of the BCG matrix in understanding the product portfolio? Stars are the market leaders and growing fast. Stars will become the future cash cows of the organization. A cash cow is typically a product that generates more cash than it is required to maintain its market share. Question marks are showing rapid growth but have poor profitability and therefore require a lot of resources to sustain it. And a dog has a low growth potential and small market share and therefore needs to move out of the product portfolio. So this is how a BCG matrix is used to analyze the product portfolio of the organization. It can also be used for analyzing the product portfolio of an SBU. It also gives you an indicator of what new products to introduce and what where will they stand in terms of the entire product portfolio. It is important to understand that any organization or SBU has what is called a balanced BCG matrix. That means it has a fair number of problem childs or question marks, a good number of stars and a good number of cash cows. If it doesn't have dogs, it's fine. So in terms of the BCG matrix, build. You invest in whatever the firm thinks has potential to be stars. You support products that continue to perform at the current level, which are the cash cows. You harvest the short-term cash cows or cash returns without necessarily thinking of long-term effects, and divest, which is either for problem childs or dogs. This is what you do in terms of the BCG matrix. The BCG matrix was brought in or formulated by a consulting company called Boston Consulting Group, and it has been used very, very successfully for understanding how the products of a typical organization are doing in the market. The BCG matrix was refined by General Electric and McKenzie to create what is called the G. McKenzie model. Now, the G. McKenzie model maps the company's competitive position on the x-axis and the market attractiveness of the product on the y-axis. It divides the company's competitive position into strong, medium and low, and market attractiveness into low, medium and high, creating 9 boxes or 9 quadrants or 9 boxes in the model. So if you see, the blue, light blue boxes along the hypotenuse or along the 45 degree axis, these are boxes in which you will earn selectively. If you see the red boxes, which is on the left hand side of the chart, these are invest or growth. And if you see the gray boxes on the right hand side of the box, these are typically products that you harvest or divest from your current portfolio. So the G. McKenzie model and the BCG matrix are used extensively for analyzing product portfolios and for understanding which products need to be harvested, which product needs to be divested, which products need to be growing, and which products are earning selectively for the company. Marketing strategy planning means finding opportunities and developing marketing strategies that the company can use to capitalize on or encash on. It requires the ability to understand, select, develop and maintain a market mix that will produce mutually satisfying and profitable exchanges with the target audiences. So this is typically a marketing strategy planning process. What is a target market? A target market is a homogeneous group of customers with similar needs and requirements or wants to whom a company wishes to appeal through a marketing mix. The marketing mix consists of the controllable variables that the company puts together in terms of product, price, place, promotion that satisfies the target market. So these are target marketing strategies. You can select single target markets to satisfy, you can concentrate on one segment, or you can have a multiple segment approach by having multiple marketing mixes to get into the market. The marketing mix is nothing but a blend of the 4 P's of marketing, consisting of the product, price, place and promotion, designed to produce mutually satisfying and profitable exchanges with the market. Distribution is sometimes referred to as the place, and the 4 P's of the marketing mix are product, price, place and promotion. So this is what we refer to as the overall marketing mix. We have an integrated marketing mix which works holistically to appeal to a target market to create what we call a mutually satisfying exchange. So, what are the examples of 4 P's? So, for example, if we take the target market as people who want to go to work in their own transport, the product could be a fuel economic car. The price can be below 2 lakh rupees. The place is typically large metropolitan and tier 1 and tier 2 cities of India, and you can promote this car through automotive magazines, television, newspaper, advertising. A typical product strategy comprises of the following. It includes what is called the length of the product mix, the width of the product mix, the number of SKUs or storekeeping units, or the number of this thing you have, the packages that you offer, the warranty, after sales service, the brand name and other parameters. A typical pricing strategy: price is what the buyer must give up to obtain a product. Price is a very important competitive product or an important competitive weapon in the overall 4 P's. It is the only P of marketing which generates revenue. All other P's like product, place and promotion are costs. Distribution strategies create what we call the place utility, making the product available at a place convenient to the customer. Involves all business activities that are concerned with storing and transporting finished products to the customer. And finally, you have personal promotion strategies, which include advertising, public relations, personal selling, sales promotions. And the objective of promotion is to inform, educate, create awareness, and persuade the customer to try the product. The entire marketing plan put together, the target market along with the marketing mix creates a marketing strategy. A marketing strategy along with an action plan, which is typically the time related details, creates a marketing plan. A marketing plan along with budgets and other parameters creates an entire marketing program. So this is how the entire thing looks like. Typically, after you have a marketing program, you get into a marketing audit. A marketing audit is nothing but a thorough systematic evaluation of the marketing objectives, goals, strategies, structure, the four P's, and the performance of the marketing organization. Characteristics of a marketing audit: it has to be comprehensive, systematic, independent, and periodic. The organization does a marketing audit to understand whether it is moving in the right direction, at the right speed, and achieving the organizational goals. If the marketing audit reveals that there is a gap between what the organization wants to achieve and what is possible in the market, the marketing strategy and the four P's of marketing are fine-tuned to achieve the desired growth that the organization wants. Coming to the summary, marketing management process refers to the planning, implementation, and control of the marketing activities. All these activities are typically continuous, ongoing, and decisions have to be made on an ongoing basis on the past decisions and also in areas which have implications where changes happen. Strategic decisions require long-term resource commitments, whereas tactical decisions require short-term resource commitments. Target market is a homogeneous group of customers with similar needs and wants to whom a company wishes to appeal by a specific marketing mix. Marketing mix is nothing but a set of controllable variables that the company puts together to satisfy the target market. The four P's of marketing include the product, price, place, and promotion. And with this, we end this session on marketing planning. Thank you so much for your time and attention.